19th, 2020, and we are still in the book of Hebrews. We are now in the last chapter of Hebrews, and we're probably going to take several weeks to go through it. And I just want to remind everyone that we don't necessarily go in depth in every verse. Otherwise, we'd be here for probably 10, 15 years because Hebrews is that rich. But that's a good reason why you need to be studying this on your own, okay? This chapter has a number of exhortations to us. And they are exhortations based upon a life that is devoted to the teachings of the New Covenant. And actually, I should probably say not just devoted to knowing and understanding the ways of the New Covenant, rather living them out, refusing to go back to the old way of living under the old covenant. So today we're going to probably do a little bit more detail. We're just going to do two verses, verses 1 and 2. And verse 1, pretty short, but very loaded in truth, let love of the brethren continue. And I like the way it says, let it continue. You know, the implication there is you're loving one another, but do it even more. Love, agape love, is the ultimate proof that Jesus Christ is living and reigning in us. Did you know that? That's the proof. Love, or agape proof, is the love is the ultimate proof that we have been in the presence of God, at the throne of mercy and grace. And so many passages, we don't have time to go through even a small part of them, but let's just look at a few here. John 13, 34 and 35, Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I've loved you. And it's that agape love, that you love one another. I like that. He says, it's a new commandment, but you're to love one another just like I loved you. That's a lot. By all this, men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. That is one of the primary proofs that we are disciples of Jesus. And it's interesting. He says, a new commandment. Why does he say that? Well, because always, even in the Old Testament, it was love your neighbor as yourself. But now he just took that love and went way high. He says, now I want you to agape love as I have loved you. And that was made possible by what Jesus did at the cross, by the new covenant. Before that, it was impossible for us to love that way. And that's why this new commandment that Jesus gave to his disciples, he gave it to them literally hours before he went to the cross, just the night before. In fact, he repeats that over and over, love one another, love one another. You know, actually in John 15, we won't go there now, but you know the passage, it says, abide in me. And then he goes on and says, and if you abide in me, then you go abide in my love. And then he says, we'll read a couple of verses here. Maybe verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I've loved you. Greater love is no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. And then a little bit later in verse 17, he says, this I command you, that you love one another. Agape love. And by the way, we can only have that as we abide in his love, as we abide in him. Only by what Jesus did at the cross. But that's the standard he gives us. And so the apostolic writers, all through the New Testament, let me just read just a few. Romans 13. Starting in verse 8, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. It includes everything. Galatians 4, verse 14. Says, no, it should be 5:14. Yes, I was in chapter 4. I'm sorry. Okay, it says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Ephesians 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you. You know, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. And then if you go to 1 John, it seems like almost every other verse is about love. Let me just read just a few of them. Like starting in chapter 3. Verse 11. It says, and this is the message which you have heard from the beginning. What? That we should love one another. Verse 18. It says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but indeed in truth. Chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. And then verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. And then verse 20, if someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. Wow, that's strong. For the one who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. That's just a sampling of verses. So, listen, this is what we've got to understand. We cannot love with agape love in our own abilities, in our own strength. It is impossible. There's only one way that we can love, and that's to be filled with the life of Jesus. And as we learn from him, we learn to love. And especially as we are at that throne of grace and mercy. Only one way. You can't learn love by going to church, although that's a good thing to do. You can't do it through reading books, although that can be good. You can't take a class in how to love one another. There's only one way. Being in the presence of God and being transformed by him. That's the only way. And our love for one another is the proof that we are devoted to Jesus Christ. Okay, let's go on to the next verse. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. You could do a whole message just on this verse. But strangers in Greek literally means foreigners or immigrants. But most Bible scholars feel like it also includes people who are different from us. And that could be people besides foreigners. You know, it could be, like I think one very important group of people are those who have disabilities, you know, whether physically or mentally, you know. They're different. And we are to show hospitality. By the way, one of the reasons that the Nazis in World War II were so evil is because they, just kind of like what we were, what Eric was saying this morning about a group of people wanting to kill off a whole other group of people. They wanted to kill off all Jews, all gypsies, all people who had any physical or mental disability. And that is so contrary to the heart of God. Here it says, we are to show hospitality to strangers, those who are without us. Actually, there's other places that the scriptures talk about hospitality. Romans 12, verse 13. It says, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 5, it's talking about widows who deserve to be helped, supported by the church. And it says right here, it says, but a widow needs to be on this, you know, she needs to be not less than 60 years old, da, da, da. And then in verse 10, it says, having a reputation for good works, and if she's brought up children, if she has shown hospitality to strangers. There it is again. Actually, the Greek word for hospitality is philoxenos. Philo means kindness or loving in a brotherly way. Xenos means foreigners, people who are different. So really, hospitality in itself means showing kindness to strangers, foreigners, immigrants, those who are different from us. I used to think of hospitality as, and I think this is the way the words developed in English, is, oh, I have a bunch of people over to my house who I enjoy hanging out with. It could be my family. It could be Bobby and Brianna and Eric and Hannah, or maybe, or Hector and Elizabeth, you know, people I really enjoy, you know, hanging out with. And that's a good thing to do, but that's not biblical hospitality. Biblical hospitality is showing kindness, opening our lives, our homes, to people who are not like us, literally to foreigners and immigrants. In today's global world, where we're just getting closer and closer together, this is an exhortation so important to us. As Christians, we have so many more opportunities to practice biblical hospitality than we used to. Being kind to foreigners is a true test of love, because it comes right after this verse, let love of the brethren continue. However, throughout history, suspicion and even hatred has been far too common. In biblical days, it was that way, and ever since. Actually, this whole idea of hating people not like us is one of the ugliest forms of sin and moral corruption that Satan has slammed mankind with. Many wars, actually almost all wars, at the source has been a dislike and hatred for people of other places. And in today's world, as we get pushed more and more together, this is becoming a growing problem. And so there's more and more hatred, more and more dislike of others. When it comes to how we're to treat others, remember, the world is not our example. The world is not our coach. Religious people, and I call religious people, people who hold to a form of godliness, but they don't have the real life of Jesus. They're not our example either. Because sometimes religious people, it can almost be worse, because their dislike and hatred can be coated with some type of spiritual justification. It's much more subtle. The scriptures are our guide. The scriptures are our coach. The scriptures are our inspiration when it comes to how we treat others. And here it says, we show hospitality. We show kindness to strangers. You know, we've been saying for years that the world's going to get darker, and therefore the church has to become brighter, and that there's going to be a greater and greater contrast between us and the world. And when it comes to this area of biblical hospitality, we are there now. We have to be much more different. We have to show contrast. Matthew 24. This is that passage where Jesus is giving his disciples a breakdown of what is going to happen before he comes back. And a lot of times we look at verse 14 about how the gospel of the kingdom needs to be preached to all the nations. But right before that, let's start in like verse 11. It says, many false prophets will arise and mislead many, because lawlessness is increased, most people's love will grow cold. Actually, I skipped verse 10. I think it's up here. At that time, many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Do you see what's happening? More and more, as the last days come, people are going to be falling away. They're going to be betraying one another. They're going to be hating one another. And people's love is going to get colder and colder. And it's happening in this world. You know, all of us have heard about this coronavirus. I just kind of mentioned it. But one of the sick things that's happening, there's places in the world where there's a growing and hostile Sinophobia. Sinophobia is a being afraid and a hatred of Chinese people. For example, in Australia right now, the last couple weeks, of course they're closer to China, they're putting up all sorts of sick things online now about Chinese people. You know, they're full of disease, stay away from them, we got to get rid of them. There's been a number of incidents. There's one incident this past week that, well, I'll tell you what happened. There's a mom, Chinese background. As it turns out, she'd never been to China. Doesn't even speak Chinese. But she was a Chinese mom. She had her baby there. She was riding a bus. And this man got, she coughed like that. Maybe had something. All of a sudden, this man on the bus starts yelling at her. You get off of this bus. You go back to China. You're going to kind of fill us with your diseases. And everyone kind of got away from her, except for one woman who kind of came over and said, you know, and kind of just, you know, said, listen, that's okay, you know, and helped her and everything. She actually kind of reported this to a reporter, and it kind of started going around. But anyway, all sorts of things are coming out. There's actually, I mean, this kind of reminds you of Nazi Germany. Signs are going up in shops. No Chinese shall enter this shop. You're not welcome. Now, I understand there's a need to protect us from the coronavirus. We need to do things. But this is hatred of other people. By the way, it's not just in Australia. United Kingdom, Canada, Singapore, someone's taken up a petition, and a couple of days ago they had 100,000 names, people who are wanting to get rid of Chinese in Singapore, not let any more come in. This is the world that we're living in, and it's going to get worse, because as more and more bad things happen, there's going to be fear. And when there's fear, people want to blame things. This is what happened several years ago with the Syrian refugees. People didn't want to take them, you know? And there's problems with some of the refugees coming out, but a lot of them which is normal people. And actually, in God's irony, for a few years, they were the people who were most receptive to the gospel. And most of the world was saying, we don't want them, we don't want them. This is what the scriptures say is going to happen more and more. Matthew 5. Let's kind of keep talking about this a little bit more. Okay, verse 14. Jesus is saying, Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Shine your light. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We have an opportunity today to let our agape life and our agape love to shine to others, because the world's getting darker. There's more and more hatred. It's going to get worse. And we need to teach our children. We need to kind of make a resolve inside of our selves that we're not going to be like the world. We're not going to be like some religious people. We're going to love and be kind, you know. And if we're all shining a light, we become a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. People will notice. They'll see that we're different. Practically, how does this work? Especially in our global world, God will lead people across our paths that are different, especially foreigners. And we must, and because we can run across people from around the world. And our response is to show kindness. You know, Colossians 3, it's not up here, but it says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved. That's us, right? Chosen of God, holy, beloved. What does he say? Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. The very opposite of what we see in the world today. That's our calling, it says. So we've got to start. How do we show kindness? We show respect. In other words, we know that every person on this earth, no matter what their disability, the language they speak, the color of their skin, how much they make, they're all created in the image of God. And we honor that. There's a verse in Proverbs, I should have looked it up, but it talks about how when we mock someone else, we are really mocking God, because he's their creator. You know, imagine if someone brought in a big picture that they painted, and we kind of said, oh, that's stupid. You know, how would that person who made that feel? They'd think, oh, they probably are thinking I'm stupid. That's what we're saying when we tell people, get out of here, we don't want you anymore. That's an insult to God Almighty. And we've got to start seeing it that way. Understanding is part of, we've got to understand how people feel. You know, ask God for understanding. What's it like to walk in their shoes? And to be helpful. Offer to help. Just be there for people. Here in Emmanuel Fellowship, we've been blessed with a lot of immigrants. Over half of us, by far. We've really been enriched. We consider ourselves to be blessed. And God has formed us into a multicultural congregation. We believe that's part of our call here in Summit County. We believe it's part of our call to be in this world, that we can show people how we are different as believers in Jesus. Not because we're so great, but because Jesus is living inside of us. And that's proof that we are disciples of Jesus. We love one another. We respect one another. We show kindness to one another. And by the way, if you're an immigrant here, let me say this to you. You know, you're to be hospital, be kind to strangers too. There's other strangers around here, you know, foreigners, you know, from other countries, from Africa, from Europe, wherever. And for many of you, Americans are foreigners to you. And so this word is for all of us. It's not just to the Americans, to the foreigners. It's to all of us. Because God, He's letting us live in a world where we're all mixed up. You know, that's what all this global migration is. He's just stirring the pot. And He loves it when His people start loving one another, because we can be a light in a world of darkness. You have a unique challenge because you need to show kindness, respect, appreciation, even to those who are sometimes disrespectful of you. But what a powerful message that is, that people are disrespecting you, but you respect them back and love them back. By the way, that's where we're headed. As a church, we're headed to the place that we're going to be called to love enemies, and we're going to have a lot of enemies. So this is just, we're just practicing for later on. We have a tremendous opportunity here in Summit County because there's so many people from around the world. I think a few years ago, the public school says 39%. That's 4 out of 10. Kids in the public schools come from parents who are foreigners or immigrants. What an opportunity. Now let me say this too, while I'm kind of just talking about everything. Let's make sure that we don't allow ourselves ever to consider ourselves a victim. That's not who we are as Christians. We may be persecuted, we may be mistreated, but we're not victims. You know what a victim is? A victim is someone who feels sorry for himself and wants other people to feel sorry for him. Well, everyone just kind of picks on me. You know, it could be someone at school, you know, just, yeah, everyone kind of says I'm dumb. Everyone says this, everyone says that. It's a constant whining and grumbling about how people mistreat you. As Christians, any mistreatment we get has come through the throne room of God. He's permitted. And so we rejoice in it. Rejoice in it? Well, that's what Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. He said, blessed are you when people insult you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely. So for us, we are not victims. And all of us, we need to resist the temptation of, I'm just trying to mind my own business. No. Judy was kind of bringing this up earlier this week about in Charles Dickens' book, A Christmas Carol. Someone was basically kind of saying, well, they're the poor, it's not my responsibility. And someone kind of comes back and says, mankind is our business, you know. Jesus tells a story of the Good Samaritan. And it started someone trying to justify themselves. You can look at it later. He says, and who is my neighbor? Because Jesus has been saying, you need to love your neighbor. And who is my neighbor? So Jesus tells this story about a man traveling up from Jericho to Jerusalem. And by the way, if you've ever been on this road, even today, it goes through the middle of nowhere, a great place for robbers. Someone jumps him, beats him up, robs him, even takes his clothes off, you know, everything, leaves him, it says, half dead. A priest comes by, and he sees that person. What does he do? He walks around to the other side of the road. Then a Levite does the same thing. He goes around. And now, why did they go around? Maybe they were too busy, didn't have time. you know, hey, he might be dangerous. This could be a trick, you know, because people would do that, pretend like they're dead, and then kind of jump you or whatever, you know. And then there's a Samaritan. And by the way, in Israel at the time, the Samaritan was the person or were the people that were being most persecuted and discriminated against. So a Samaritan goes over there, takes him in, bandages him up, takes him to a hotel, you know, gives the innkeeper some money, his money, says, listen, take care of him. I'll kind of come by in a few days. If I owe you any more, I'll give you some more money. And then Jesus asks a question. He says, who proved to be their neighbor? I like that word. Who proved it? Everyone said, oh yeah, he's my neighbor. But who proved to be his neighbor? And the man said, I guess the man who showed mercy. And he said, that's right. The person who showed mercy. Let's don't be the type of people who always have excuses for not taking care of other people. Hebrews 13, 2. Let's finish this verse here. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Now, this is probably a reference to Genesis 18, where a couple angels come to Abraham and Sarah. And then in Genesis 19, a couple more kind of go to Lot and his family in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom, I guess. And they, both times, they bring them in. And you might say, yeah, but they probably knew they were probably angels from God. No. How do I know that? Because it says some have entertained angels without knowing it. They didn't know who they were, at least at the beginning. But they brought them in. That is biblical hospitality, according to Hebrews. You open your home, you open your lives to people. And they were blessed, both of them, because of that. I think there's maybe one more slide. Yeah, this is something I saw on Facebook this week. And I thought, there's so much unkindness in the world. People are kind of putting stuff up like this. No matter how educated, talented, rich, or cool you believe you are, how you treat people ultimately tells all. That's what the scriptures say, right? Actually, showing hospitality, biblical hospitality, is not an option for us. It's part of our calling. It's who God has created us to be. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these simple exhortations in the scriptures. One is let love of the brethren continue. And Lord, you've been speaking to us about loving one another, but Lord, we hear your words so clearly. It needs to even be more. We can't let go. We have to keep growing and growing in this. And we grow in this as we let you fill our lives. Lord, that's the proof that we're disciples of you. Lord, let us see that. And Lord, this whole idea of practicing hospitality, biblical hospitality, not what we kind of say in our culture, but hospitality of showing kindness to strangers, to foreigners, to those who are not like us. Lord, that's our calling. We want to be like that. Make us into that type of people. And therefore, let our light shine before men, especially in this world of darkness. Lord, it's getting worse. And sometimes, Lord, it's hard to kind of watch the world and the cultures we love and a lot of things, Lord, they just keep going down, 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 darker and darker. But in the midst of that, Lord, we hear your calling that we are to be light in this world. Lord, make us light in this world and make us a city set on a hill. that no one can deny. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray and ask all these things. Amen. Amen. Okay. Okay, that's all. Okay. Real quick, because I understand there is another group, a whole bunch of people coming in at 1 o'clock, so we're going to have to... But what have you heard the Lord say this morning? In just a sentence or so.
That we can't love without His power.
Okay. Okay, we can't love. And that's why Jesus waited to right before He died, before He said, hey, listen, let me tell you about this new commandment now. The thing is, they couldn't even live up to the last commandment, but now they can live, we can live according to that new commandment because Jesus is inside of us. Okay, somebody else. What did you hear? What kind of, Hector. Okay. That
love cannot be limited.
Okay, not limited. Okay.
No matter how many times you say, I love God, if you don't show love, there's no love.
Okay, First John is very convicting. That's right, exactly. I think someone...
That the world is so in need of that agape love.
Yeah. They're That's right, because they're kind of drowning in fear and anxiety. And the thing is, it's going to get a lot worse. And they may strike out against us, but the thing is, what they really want is what we have. And they're going to be coming to us. Amen. Was there someone else had a hand? Okay. Well, that's... Oh, okay. Graciela. Okay, muy bien, muy bien.
So many times we only see our own circle, we make our own circles, and then we don't see the needs of others, we only want to see whatever ourselves.
And it's selfishness, that's right.
Yes,
that's right. Judy.
Yes,